So friends in Christ, so far we've been gathering these last couple weeks looking at the ornaments themselves of the images of the story of the people that remind us of Jesus and his very family tree. So far we've looked at the half-eaten, bitten apple from Adam and Eve in the garden that reminds us that Jesus himself is a second, greater Adam. We've looked at the story himself of Noah and how that in that ark of keeping God's family, his world, his animals safe reminds us how Jesus himself does the same for us in this church, in the Christian church. We've looked at Moses, and out of the burning bush, God gave the promise that he would rescue his people from slavery, reminding us again of Jesus doing the same and taking from us the slavery of sin. We've looked at the family heirlooms of Abraham. We've talked about all these different figures, even King David himself, and one that surprisingly that we don't even hear about in a normal course of a year, let alone Christmas time, is this prophet Jonah. Now, I want to see here if we have a little bit of a close-up. If you want to take a look, a lot of people think it was a whale, because if we're going to take this story at face value literally, how could any fish be big enough to swallow a man whole and keep him alive in his belly, right? There's only one mammal, one animal on earth that could do it, and it's probably a whale, you'd think of it. But we take scripture as it is, and it says a great fish. Whether or not it was a whale or a fish, that is our image for us tonight. So I need a special helper. Do we have another youngster maybe around us to go from youngest to oldest here? Maybe there's a willing soul that could help us hang an ornament for us. We have a couple takers back here maybe. I see one boy out there. I think it's been every week so far. Do you want to help us out again, Michaela? Sure. So we have Jonah and the fish or whale. And you can give her right up top one of these limbs. Thank you, Michaela. So today, this is a story that reminds us of those times when we need to take an Alka-Seltzer or maybe a Tums when we have acid reflux, because guess what? Jonah thrown up. And if that story doesn't make the insides of us churn like curdled milk or make us have a face like you would just got done cleaning up a septic tank that overflew, that is the same sort of feeling that Jonah had. You see, the story goes that Jonah himself, a man of God, man that was a believer, was given a task of going to the very people that he had no interest in sharing any promise of hope or forgiveness. Think of it this way. Think of a person, maybe a sworn enemy of your own. Maybe it was a boss that just drove you nuts, or maybe a person that betrayed you. Maybe it was your boss. Maybe it was a family member or a friend that turned their back on you. Think of one person that just would not be somebody that you would want to spend having a Christmas dinner with. That was the Ninevites, the Assyrian people to Jonah. And so when God gave him the task to go and preach hope and forgiveness to these people, Jonah said, "Ain't no way, Lord," and he got on the fastest rowboat out to the extended part of the known world. Leaving from the Mediterranean Sea, he goes as far past to the gates of Spain to get out of town. And scripture says to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you have to be a Bible expert to know that that's not really a good idea, right? How many of us could get away from the presence of the Lord? We could run, we could hide, we could put ourselves under the covers, we could get on a plane, but guess what? The Lord's not going to get very far away. And so he gets on this boat. Even the unbelieving men who didn't even believe in God started to have faith and pray to the one God. And they threw Jonah overboard, and as he was sinking down deeper and deeper into the sea, even deeper and further than maybe Jack Dawson from the movie Titanic. He's going into the depths of the sea and gets wound up in these weeds, and sure enough, a fish must have seen something tasty, and he swallows them whole. And this might have just been a saving moment for Jonah. I didn't have to drown in the water. I could die in the belly of a stinky fish. In the belly, he lifts up this prayer. And in that prayer, the Lord had mercy. And the prayer worked because the fish just couldn't handle regurgitating anymore, couldn't handle digesting, and threw him up on dry land of all things. When he's there, he does the least possible thing. He gives a mere sentence, repent and believe. That was it. And the Lord did all the work, and thousands of people, the sworn enemies of God, the people that killed Israelites, believed and were given righteousness. And just Jonah couldn't handle it. He still didn't like it because the Lord was gracious. And to him, grace wasn't fair. Now, why is this a story for us tonight? And why would it have anything to do with Jesus? Well, two things. Jesus uses this story for us. As we heard in Scripture from Matthew, just as Jonah was in that belly of that sea creature for 3 days, 3 nights, miraculously as it was, so too he himself would be in the belly of the earth, foreshadowing his time in the tomb after dying on the cross. That's the sign of Jonah. But before we explain why that's so important, the first thing, why it's so important for us today in this Christmas Advent season. Have you ever held a grudge? I think that's the story of Jonah. He held a grudge. How could God be willing to give love and forgiveness to somebody that just didn't deserve it? They were good-for-nothing people that should have been destroyed by fire itself, brimstone hotter than Sodom and Gomorrah. And how dare God tell him to go and be nice to them? They don't deserve it. And he held that grudge until God used something as ridiculous as a sea creature to swallow a man whole and spit him up on the land to force him to get it done. You ever held a grudge maybe that bad? Maybe you're holding a grudge right now. Maybe somebody's holding a grudge against you that you may not even know it. Christmas time brings out the worst in humanity, even when it's the most wonderful time of the year, they say. The dark days, the cold weather, the wind, the uncomfortability of shopping and being stressful and lack of money and people getting on our nerves and people getting sick and people dying, and it's just too much. And on top of it all, life isn't fair. And there's certain people, certain things that we just don't like. So maybe this story just maybe reminds us. Ever hear of a story of the Grinch that stole Christmas? He held a grudge too. People that abandoned him because he looked different, sounded different, didn't want him around. Some of us think of other people as Grinches. Some of us maybe are called a Grinch. And this story of Jonah reminds us of grudges, how our Christian life is tasked in this time to be gracious with ourselves. How can we forget about what we think about people? How can we forget about maybe the wrongs done to us and just be able to be used as God's instrument for good? How can you do something selfless and good for somebody else? Churches, people like to do a lot of those things, whether it's giving to charity, helping the homeless, ringing a Salvation Army bell. Those are all great things. And that's what I encourage you to think about. How can I be gracious with my personhood? Instead of running away from the presence of not just the Lord, but any person. Because that's the lesson of Jesus. Mary and Joseph could have very well complained and held a grudge against every single person in the town of Bethlehem because they kicked him out. There's no place in the inn for them. And so they had to give birth in a place that was full of, I would say, the exhaust, the extra leftover waste in the barn. There, the holiest of holies was born amidst the messy stinkiness of this earth. And he was so glad to be able to. In the worst, darkest place of this life, God loves to be. God doesn't hold a grudge against you. He doesn't hold a grudge against any single person that we think deserves the worst. And neither should we. Scripture tells us that while we were sinners, Christ came to us and Christ died for us. That's the message of Jonah. That's the message of Christmas. We weren't good enough on our own for Jesus. But we're good enough for him to be here, to come and be born, to save us because of his love. And because of Jesus coming, we are now heirs to his life and resurrection. That's the message of Christmas, that Jesus came to die for you, and in that life, give us new life. Even if it means swallowing up our pride and spitting out joy. So, if you can be like Jonah, try to be the part that lets God use who he made you to be. Because that's what Jesus did for you. He came to be the instrument of grace and forgiveness and life. So, again, from this empty, cut-off promise comes hope that even in the midst of the ugliness of this life, there is still life to be given and life for you. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of Jesus and all the people in his line and in his story that leads us back to your love. Use us this year, in this Christmas season, to be an example of selfless giving, to take away those grudges we might have, and to be able to be used for good, to be gracious and loving to just at least one more person, even if they don't deserve it. That's the love you give to us. All in Jesus' name. Amen.